rejoice and be glad. The Redeemer has come. Go look on his cradle, his cross and his tomb. And his praises tell the story of him who was slain. Sound his praises, tell with gladness he liveth again. Rejoice and be glad, it is sunshine again. The clouds have departed, the shadows are past. Sound his praises, tell the story of him who was slain. Sound his praises, tell with gladness he liveth again. Rejoice and be glad, for the blood hath been shed. Redemption is finished, the price has been paid. Sound his praises, tell the story of him who was slain. Sound his praises, tell with gladness he liveth again. Rejoice and be glad, now the pardon is free. The just for the unjust has died on the tree. Sound his praises, tell the story of him who was slain. Sound his praises, tell with gladness he liveth again. Rejoice and be glad, for the Lamb that was slain. O'er death is triumphant and liveth again. Sound his praises, tell the story of him who was slain. Sound his praises, tell with gladness he liveth again.
Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And go a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not I as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." While he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man, seize him." And he came up to Jesus at once and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. Jesus said to him, "Friend, do what you came to do." Then they came up and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. And behold, one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear.
Feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the crowd any one prisoner whom they wanted, and they had then a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when they had gathered, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ. For he knew that it was out of envy that they had delivered him up. Besides, while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man, for I have suffered much because of him today in a dream." Now, the chief priest and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to destroy Jesus. The governor again said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said, "Let him be crucified." And he said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." So when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." And all the people answered, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then he released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole battalion before him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spit on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him and led him away to crucify him.
In Christ alone,
my hope is found.
My hope is found.
He's my light, my strength, my song.
His cornerstone,
his cornerstone,
his solid ground.
Firm through the fiercest drought and storm.
What heights of love?
What depths of peace?
What depths of deep?
When fears are still, my comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone,
who took on flesh,
fullness of God in helpless faith.
This gift of love and righteousness,
stored by the ones he came to save.
Till on that cross, as Jesus died,
the wrath of God
was satisfied
for every sin.
On him was laid.
Here in the death of Christ I live.
There in the ground,
his body lay,
light of the world by darkness slain.
Then bursting forth,
in glorious day,
up from the grave he rose again.
As he stands in victory,
since Christ has lost
his grip on me.
For I am his,
and he is mine,
bought with the precious blood of Christ. In Christ alone I place my trust, and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope, in Christ alone. I place my trust, my source of strength, my source of hope in Christ alone. No guilt in life,
no guilt in life,
no fear in death,
no fear in death.
This is the power of Christ in me.
From life's first cry
to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell,
no scheme of man,
ever plot me from his hand,
till he return,
or calls me home.
Savior, I come, quiet my soul. Till where your blood was spilled for my ransom, everything I once held dear, I count it all as lost.
Lead me to the cross where your love poured out. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay myself, I belong to you. Oh, lead me to the cross.
You were as I tempted and tried. Sin and death. Now you're risen. Everything I once held dear, I count it all as lost.
Lead me to the cross where your love poured out. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you. Oh, lead me to your cross,
to your
heart.
Lead me to your
me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you. Oh, lead me to the cross.
As they went out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink, mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments among them by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him there. And over his head they put the charges against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." So also the chief priests with the scribes and elders mocked him, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now if he desires him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.' And the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani,' that is, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?' And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, 'This man is calling Elijah.' And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. But the other said, 'Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him.' And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, 'Truly, this was the Son of God.'"
Cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Attraction for me, for the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
In that old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me.
So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my
my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
To the old rugged cross I will ever be true. It shall someday to a home far away where his glory forever
I'll share.
So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. The Word became flesh, and the light shined among us, his glory revealed.
Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, rising he justified truly forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day.
They led him up Calvary's mountain. One day they nailed him to die on a tree. Suffering, anguish, despised and rejected, bearing our sins, my Redeemer is he. The hands that held nations stretched out on a tree and took the nails for me.
Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day.
Conceal him no longer. One day the stone rolled away from the door. Then he arose over death he had conquered. Now has ascended, my Lord, evermore. Death could not hold him, the grave could not keep him from rising again.
Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day.
One day the trumpet will sound for his coming. One day the skies with his glories will shine. Wonderful day my beloved one brings. My Savior Jesus is mine. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, glorious day, glorious day, glorious day.
Now, after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for the fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen. As he said, come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up, took hold of his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me."
My Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, he arose, he arose. Hallelujah, Christ arose. Vainly they watched his bed, Jesus, my Savior. Arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, he arose, he arose. Hallelujah, Christ arose. Death cannot keep his prey, Jesus, my Savior. The bars away, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose,
He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, he arose, he arose. Hallelujah, Christ arose.
In this time of
desperation,
when all we know is
dark and fear,
there is only one
foundation.
We believe,
we believe.
When all is dark, you help
us see.
There is only one
salvation.
We believe.
We believe. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, that He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again. We believe.
Let our faith be more than
anthems,
greater than the songs
we sing.
In our weakness and
temptations,
we believe.
We believe. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, that He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again. Let the lost be found and the dead be raised. In the here and now, let His love invade. Let the church live loud, our God will say, we believe, we believe. And the gates of hell will not prevail, for the power of God has torn the veil. Now we know Your love will never fail. We believe, we believe. God the Father, we believe in Jesus Christ, we believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion, we believe that He conquered death, we believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again. We believe. We believe. We believe. We believe.
happy Resurrection Sunday. So today, we celebrate something really, really special. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. And how important is the resurrection? Yeah, it's pretty important. But it's kind of funny, you get outside of our little circle here. The faithful, right? The remnant. And you talk to other so-called Christians and you find out that they, you know, there's so many things that they think that we could take it or leave it. It would be okay. Wouldn't change anything if Jesus was never resurrected, blah, blah, blah. And you'll find a lot of cults who actually don't believe he was resurrected, a la Jehovah's Witnesses. That's a sticking point for them. The next time one comes to your door, you can start asking them about, oh, I don't know, about 50 different passages. But the resurrection was the focal point of Christ's teaching to the disciples. We tend to miss it. He would tell his disciples about his suffering and death. He said in Mark 8:31, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And of course they forgot he said that, but it's completely understandable that Mark and the other three gospel writers all included a historical account of Jesus' resurrection in their narratives, because it's super important. Paul knew that without the resurrection, our salvation is not possible. He talks about that in 1 Corinthians 15, which we'll go over in just a minute. And he was also convinced a person couldn't possibly be saved without believing in the resurrection of Jesus. Did you know that? We all know Romans 10:9, right? If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. It's no wonder that Paul and the other apostles and every leader in the early church continually proclaimed Christ's resurrection as the culmination of his ministry. Those men were so captivated by the significance of the resurrection that they couldn't help but preach it. And that should be our attitude today. In the Bible, we have nowhere a celebration or observance of Easter, right? We have the Passover, which we all know was commanded by God to remember his deliverance of his people from Egypt. And we have in the New Testament Jesus becoming the Passover lamb for all of us and commanding us to now commemorate his sacrifice by observing the Lord's Supper or communion. Now, with all that said, is it appropriate to celebrate the resurrection of Christ? Of course it is, right? But it's important to separate the wheat from the chaff. Okay, the wheat being the resurrection, the chaff being Easter, right? Satan loves to just absolutely trash everything that God proclaims as holy, right? We set up Christmas, and Satan goes, "Here's Santa Claus." And God says, "Here's the resurrection," and Satan goes, "Here's the Easter Bunny." Just like we don't like giving up Santa Claus, and we don't like giving up reindeer. We don't want to give up our Easter egg hunts and our pastel M&Ms and Easter Bunny. And I really don't care if you feel like hiding a bunch of colored eggs from your children in some mean game of hide and seek where they search for prizes they don't want to eat. That's up to you, but we as a church, we celebrate Resurrection Sunday. When I was a kid, I used to think, I found these eggs, but I don't want anything to do with them, right? I don't want to eat them. What are we doing? It's a fun little hunt, right? But we celebrate Resurrection Sunday so we can stay focused on what's important. The word Easter actually came from the name of the fertility goddess Ishtar. And so Christians shouldn't be naming the celebration of the Lord's resurrection with a fictional false goddess. And this church has got that nailed down pat. But there's a movement of heresy authored by Satan that the resurrection of Jesus Christ isn't important. And many say just flat didn't happen. See, Satan wants to convince you that the resurrection is not pivotal to our hope and not necessary for our salvation. So the new battle of the day is the inerrancy of Scripture, as we know, and whether or not the resurrection was real. So we always have to keep in mind that Satan fights with denial and delusion, right? He wants to dilute things so much, marginalize everything. Oh, every God, you know, we all worship the same God, and we just have different ways of getting there. The Oprah, right? The Joel Osteen, it's all good. Whatever you worship, it's good for you, right? Satan wants that, or just flat denial. Didn't happen, there's no such thing, blah, blah, blah. Satan wants to water things down. He fights with denial and delusion, so we have the celebration of Easter, watering down the celebration of the resurrection, and we also have the denial of the resurrection. Let's focus on the importance of believing in the resurrection itself. Paul said in Romans 10:9, you know, we have that straightforward language. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. That's pretty straightforward. It's not an option to believe in the resurrection. It's an imperative for salvation. Even the Sanhedrin and the chief priests who crucified Jesus, they knew what the implication would be, what it would mean if Jesus was resurrected. They knew that. If Jesus rose from the dead, they just crucified their long-awaited Messiah. And that would certainly be frowned upon. The synagogue get-togethers, things would be mopey, right? If I can take you back in time, right after the crucifixion, the Pharisees wanted to make sure it didn't even appear. That there was not even an appearance that Jesus was resurrected. And that's the reason, like I said, that they understood the implication of even the appearance of his resurrection. So they posted guards outside the tomb. And here are their words. Matthew 27:64. So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead, and the last deception will be worse than the first. They knew that if Jesus was raised from the dead, they killed the Messiah. What's really sad is that was not as distressing to them as losing their titles. Now, the good thing is that God is never caught off guard or by surprise. He carefully orchestrated all of it. But still, these guys are not off the hook for the crucifixion of Christ. That I can tell you for sure. And I could stand up here today and I could tell you how important our Savior's resurrection is. But I think God's word says it best. So I'm going to rapid fire for you, and I'm going to close with rapid firing some passages for you because Scripture says it best. Scripture everywhere declares the importance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Luke 24:46, he told them, this is what is written, that Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. John 11:25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. John 2:22, after he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. John 20:9, speaking of the disciples, they still did not understand from scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. John 21:14, this was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Acts 2:24, but God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Acts 2:29-37, brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day, but he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of that fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Acts 3:14-15, you disown the holy and righteous one and ask that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. Acts 4:10-12, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men, which we must be saved. Acts 4:33, with great power the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. Acts 5:30, the God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. Acts 10:39-40. We are witnesses of everything he did on the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. Acts 13:27. The people of Jerusalem and their rulers did not recognize Jesus, yet in condemning him, they fulfilled the words of the prophets that are read every Sabbath. Though they found no proper ground for a death sentence, they asked Pilate to have him executed. And when they carried out all that was written about him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead, and for many days he was seen by those who had traveled with him from Galilee to Jerusalem. They are now his witnesses to our people. Acts 13:37. But the one whom God raised from the dead did not see decay. Acts 17:2-3. As his custom was, Paul went into the synagogue, and on the Sabbath days, he reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and proving that the Christ had to suffer and rise from the dead. Acts 17:31, and for he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead. Acts 26:22-23, but I have had God's help for this to this very day, and so I stand here and testify to small and great alike. I am saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen, that the Christ would suffer and, as the first to rise from the dead, would proclaim light to his own people and to Gentiles. Romans 1:1-4, Paul, servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised before through his prophets in the holy scriptures regarding his son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David, and who through the spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 4:24, but also for us to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. Romans 6:4, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Romans 6:9, for we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. Romans 7:4, so, my brothers, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who raised from the dead in order that we might bear fruit to God. Romans 8:11. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you. 1 Corinthians 6:14, by his power God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. 1 Corinthians 15:20, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. 2 Corinthians 4:14, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. Galatians 1:1, Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Ephesians 1:20, which he exalted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms. Colossians 2:12, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. 2 Timothy 2:8, remember, Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel. Hebrews 13:20, may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. 1 Peter 1:3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. 1 Peter 1:21, through him you believe in God who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. 1 Peter 3:21. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also, not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience towards God. It saves you, how? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Revelation 1:5, grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Revelation 14:13, then I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them. And this next scripture is written by Paul to the Corinthian church. Paul heard that false witnesses were teaching the Corinthians that the resurrection was not important. And so Paul wrote this. If it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. Paul said that if Christ was not raised from the dead, then our faith is in vain. Folks, if someone preaches to you a gospel other than the one we preach to you, throw that heathen out of your house. For Paul told the Galatians, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. And now a promise and revelation from the Holy Spirit regarding the resurrection. Revelation 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy are those who have part in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. Lord bless you and keep you. Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lord, lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
I would like to thank everyone for being here this morning. Remember, celebrating Christ is just not once a year, twice a year, it's every day. What he did for us is amazing. Would you please stand as we sing the last song? Sing with us, please. Yes, get me up. Okay, I'll put you over here. No, no. You want it there? You can see it. Yes. Okay. I know.
My server is the Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, he lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see his loving care. Though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that he is leading through all the stormy blast. The day of his appearing will come at last. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christians, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujah to Jesus Christ the King. The hope of all who seek him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart.
Happy Resurrection Sunday.
Happy Resurrection Sunday. Greet your neighbor.